Hi, everyone. This is Heidi St. John. Thanks for tuning in today. This is America's Town Hall. It's where we take your questions and talk about things that are happening on the political landscape here in the United States and around the world. Today, I am joined by an amazing person. His name is Jackson Lawmeyer. He is running for the U.S. Senate for a race in that will happen in 2022 in a very similar fashion to my race against Jamie Herrera Butler here in Washington State's 3rd Congressional District. This is a very important conversation. Today, we're going to ask the question, should Christians support Israel? Privileged to have Jackson here with me. And this is really part two of an interview that I did with him. The first part aired at my show Off the Bench. And this one, because I really felt like it fits the town hall theme, we decided to go ahead and move it to America's Town Hall. This is a really important topic. I'm going to link back to some articles in the show notes today, but this is something we need to be talking about. The question is, should Christians support Israel? And the broader question, should the United States support Israel? And I think you're going to appreciate Jackson's point of view. So here's that interview with Jackson Lawmeyer in progress. I want to switch gears with you for a moment, because as I was reading your bio, I noticed that you've participated in Christians United for Israel. And as I'm watching what's happening right now in the Gaza Strip and what's happening between Palestine and Israel, you knew it was going to only be a matter of time before the Palestinians smell weakness because they don't have a friend in the White House. Right. And I'm curious, because I'm getting questions like this daily here at the podcast, as to why Christians should support Israel. And I'm wondering if you can speak to it.
So there's several reasons, but the main reason is simply the biblical reason. And that is, Israel is still the apple of God's eye, and that it is very clear. There's a promise that God made to Abraham that is an eternal promise. God says, I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. And I want to be on the side of God's blessing, not on the side of God's cursing. And that's the most simple, direct, basic answer. Then you can get into what you call more geopolitical answers, Israel being our ally and the good that Israel does as a democracy in the Middle East. You know, there's those answers, there's logical answers, but the most straightforward, direct biblical answer is Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3.
Yep. And for us to misunderstand this as a church, it shows me that we don't understand the Bible. You know, we're not reading the Bible's pretty clear. You know, I will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse it.
It's pretty simple. But what happened, and this is a church history thing, you have what was called replacement theology. And the replacement theology idea was that the church replaced Israel. But Paul talks about how we've been grafted in. We are now grafted in as part of Abraham's covenant promise. It's not replacement. We've been grafted in. And it's very simple. God will bless those who bless the people of Israel, and God will curse those who curse the people of Israel. And we've seen that play out through history.
I saw a woman, I'm trying to find it. She basically said, look, I appreciate your stance for Israel, but the Jews have rejected the Messiah. And we've talked about this many times here with various pastors that come on the show and talked about the history of Israel. We've, you know, gone through the book of Revelation, you know, talking about how basically, you know, God turned his attention right now to the Gentiles. But soon the church age is going to be over and he's going to turn his attention again back to the Jews. How do you answer the Christian who says, listen, they rejected Messiah, so they're on their own? How do you, what's your response to that?
You just need to go read the book of Romans. Paul addresses that issue very, very thoroughly, very, very thoroughly in great detail, because there was Christians saying the same thing then. And so Paul addresses that matter of, you know, they've rejected the Messiah. And, you know, and they've also, you know, they crucified the Messiah, right? You know, they're the ones who, you know, betrayed him and all of that, and which is true. Now, that doesn't mean that just because you're born a Jew, that you are born again. We all understand that. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was a good religious Jew, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. So just because you're born a Jew, that's, we're not arguing that they are born again, but they are God's chosen elect of people. But that doesn't mean that that divine election is eternal salvation. And that's where people get caught up. They get confused there. They think whenever we're talking about these are God's people, that we're talking about eternal salvation. We're talking about this is God's chosen vehicle that he has used to bless the world. That's what he said to Abraham. You through you, you are going to bless the entirety of the world. It's through you that the Messiah, you know, Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was a Jew. And there's so many prophecies in the Old Testament about the return of Israel as a nation, the return of Israel as a nation. And we saw that in 1948 take place. And we're seeing many, many other biblical prophecies fulfilled. And it's what an exciting time to be alive.
Mm, it is. And it's an important time to continue to support Israel. And I'm watching, I'm curious, you know, you've thrown your hat in the ring now, running for Senate to replace James Lankford. And I've kind of watched him making some decisions that were shocking to me because I watch national politics and have been for a long time. And I'm curious to know, as a senator, if you're given the opportunity to represent the great state of Oklahoma, what will your position be? And how can the Senate and the House of Representatives support Israel? So let's say you get in there and you've got the Biden administration, you know, coming down on you. Clearly, he's not a supporter of Israel. I mean, he's assembling, if I can dare say it, I mean, he is assembling a massive team of people who hate Israel. Right. And so how does the, because we must win back the House and the Senate in 2022. Yes. We must do that. How can the House of Representatives and the Senate work together to support Israel under a Biden administration?
So you obviously have, first thing first, is the bully pulpit. You have the bully pulpit of influence, and you have to call it what it is when it's anti-Semitism. You cannot just brush it off. You've got these people like Omar and AOC and Talib. You just have this group, right? You have to call it what it is. They're anti-Semitic. They hate the nation and the people of Israel. They hate it. And so you have to call that out. And that's where I say you can't purr like a little kitten. That's what we have right now. We have people up there who are purring like nice little kittens. You've got to roar like you have a bully pulpit, meaning if you say something as a member of Congress or a member of the Senate, people listen. They just do. You have access to the news media. People listen. And you have to use that influence. You recognize where the Biden administration is. You're not going to get them to support the nation of Israel in ways that we would find as actual support. Now, they're going to say they support the nation of Israel. They're going to say that. That doesn't mean they actually do. And you have to call out Hamas for what it is. It's a terrorist organization. These are not peaceful people. These are terrorists. I mean, you don't fire over 1,000 rockets in less than 40 hours seeking peace. That's war. If somebody did that to our country, somebody fires one rocket, not 1,000, one rocket. We're firing back. You know, and you can't condemn Israel for defending itself. You have to support them. So I think that is the most important way that you can do that.
Yeah, you're right. And it's important for people to know that your seat, the seat that you're running for in the Senate and the seat that I am running for in the House of Representatives, these are federal positions. These are seats at the table. And that means that we need to have men and women of integrity, men and women who know the Lord Jesus, who understand the importance of Israel, who love this country, to be ascending to positions of authority where those decisions are being made. Because it seems to me that having assembled now this team of Israel haters, right? And basically they're jihad supporters. It's amazing if you look to see who Biden is surrounding himself, it's terrifying. And I'm like, oh my word, that's Biden is supposed to be my representative before the Lord as the president of this country. And I think his handlers are likely to press Israel to stop defending itself and to start making new concessions to what can only be described as jihadis. And we've got to speak out against this. And Christians should understand why this is so important, and they don't. And to me, it's largely because of a failure of the church to really teach the history of Israel and show it in light of Scripture and what God says about the nation of Israel. And it matters, right, that our pastors start talking about this stuff from the pulpit.
I believe so. I agree so, because the Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And most Christians gather their knowledge from their church when it comes to just the way they view the world. Their worldview is formulated through the Word of God, but primarily through the church life that they're a part of, whether it's small group, Sunday school, sermons, the people they hang around. And I think it's important that as pastors, we speak up, that we talk about those issues, and more are. That's the good news. There's a lot of bad news, but the good news is more and more people are standing up and speaking up.
And if your pastor, you know, I guess I would say this to our listeners right now, if your pastor is unwilling to speak about what's happening in the world around us, the reason that we know that we study God's word is so that we can apply it to every aspect of our life, so that we can walk in right relationship with the Lord, so that we can be both wise and discerning as these decisions are being made. And if listeners are attending a church that's woke, you know, I called it last week, I called a woke church the broke church, right?
So, yep, woke, you go broke.
Yeah, you woke, you go broke. And that's what's happening. I've been encouraging people. And this is, this took me a while to kind of get to this point, because I was a pastor's wife for so long. And I understand the dynamics of being in ministry full time. And I know how hard it is on pastors when people just up and leave their churches. But the fact of the matter is, you need to talk to your pastor. And if they, if they're insistent that, nope, we're not going to talk about any of those things, it's probably time to find a church who's actually going to put his faith into practice.
No, and you're right. And you want to make sure you're in a good, sound, Bible-based church, but the Bible speaks to the issues that we face today, such as anti-Semitism. Israel's the apple of God's eye. That's a pretty easy statement to make from the pulpit, because it's right there in Scripture.
Yeah, speaking up for the unborn, pretty easy.
It's
pretty
easy. It isn't hard. It's not hard. It's all, you don't have to give your opinion. Scripture speaks for itself. You just have to get up and be willing to read it. That's all you need to read it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's an idea. Well, and like you're saying, it's not hard, but it takes courage.
Yes, because you might lose people.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have to be willing to stand for what is right. And I'm so encouraged every time I hear, I think you're absolutely right. I think we're starting to see more and more people getting off the bench. And I so appreciate what you're doing.
I love what you're doing. Yes, this is great.
Thank you. Well, and it is. I mean, it resonates with me, right? As you and I talked about briefly before we started recording, it really is a wartime appointment. And I don't believe that our founding fathers ever intended for people to go there and stay for 50 years.
No.
And become part of the problem, right? I mean, these guys left their plows
George
and their farms.
Washington
and, yeah.
Didn't want a second term. He just wanted, they had to convince him, because they told George Washington, if you don't remain as president for a second, this experiment's going to fall apart. This was not what they want, you know, but you have just a different culture today.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely right. I kind of wonder what would happen if, instead of giving, you know, congressmen and presidents and senators, you know, really nice salaries, which they could get really nice houses and get a really nice life, if we just said, hey, here's your bunker for the next 2 years, and you can, you know, you get to shower every other Thursday. I wonder if we'd take the job more seriously. It would actually mean something. And instead, you know, these guys, that's why we get career politicians and people who go, hey, you know, we're not listening to the people anymore, but it doesn't matter because I'm collecting a paycheck. Something's wrong when that's the case.
No, you're completely right. And I'll tell you, I really love what you're doing. Appreciate so much you having me on. I really do. It's a real honor to be on with you today. And I appreciate
Thank
it a
you.
Lot.
Well, it's a joy to have you here. How can people find out about your run for Senate, and where can they go to support your run financially?
So they can go to my website, JacksonLawmeyer.com. Now, I've got a good German last name, and I joked around. I said, you know, if I would have thought this through, of running for United States Senate one day, I'd have changed my legal name to Jack Law. It'd have been so much easier than trying to spell Jackson Lawmeyer, right? But I didn't think this through. This wasn't a career for me. So Lawmeyer, good German last name, LahmeyeR, Jackson Lawmeyer. .com, and they can go there and they can learn more about me. And then financially, you know, this is a multi-million dollar race, but we're doing extremely well. People were concerned. You know, I said, do you think you're going to be able to raise money? You're a new candidate. I said, I'm a pastor. If you don't know how to raise money as a pastor, you're not a pastor for long. We'll be just fine. We're raising great amount of money and it's going really, really well.
That's wonderful. Well, and it's important. You know, you don't have to live in Oklahoma to support you, right?
Absolutely. No, and that's the thing. People say, well, you don't represent me. No, as a United States Senator, yes, I do. As a United States, my decision making affects everybody. It affects everybody in the United States.
Yep, that's exactly right. And the same is true of the House of Representatives. These are seats at the table. They are federal seats and people need to get involved. It's not enough anymore just to look and see what's happening, you know, in my county, in my district. We need to start looking at what's happening nationally and supporting candidates like yourself. So I'm very excited that you're here and I hope you'll join me again and update everybody on how it's going.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. You guys want more information on Jackson Lawmeyer and his bid for the Senate? I want to encourage you today to go to HeidiStJohn.com/podcast, scroll down to the end, and I will link back to his run. And we're going to encourage you guys like we always do. Get off the bench, get onto the battlefield. It starts where you're at. So ask the Lord, Lord, what can I do? What do you want me to do to bring your voice and your wisdom and your discernment to our nation as it is in so desperately needed right now. Hope you guys have enjoyed this interview and we appreciate your feedback. You can go to HeidiStJohn.com/podcast. Leave that feedback for us. We'd love to hear from you. Again, thanks for listening to America's Town Hall. And we are going to continue to pray as we fight for the soul of America.